Welcome, listeners or viewers, to this edition of the Justice Team podcast. Today we have on Casey Holden, who is our favorite Swede, and she's also very tall. Casey, how tall are you?
I'm almost 6 feet.
Nice. You know, that's why she's so intimidating in the courtroom. And we're going to talk about that because Casey is what we call a paratrooper for trial, where she comes in later stages to try a lot of cases here, you know, for a lot of people, Justice HQ people throughout California. Casey lives up in the Bay Area, NorCal, but she's down here today in SoCal because where were you today, Casey?
I was reporting ready for trial again.
And what happened again?
There was not an available courtroom.
And how often does this happen to you?
Approximately 75% of the time.
Wow. Yeah, so I think, you know, a lot of listeners, viewers are aspiring to do trials, to get into the courtroom, you know, and a lot of people say it takes you years, you got to be second chair, you got to do all this stuff. And, you know, we see you especially been getting in the ring a lot. You know, how is it, are you able to, you know, educate our listeners that, well, first of all, how long have you been practicing?
So I've been practicing 7 years now.
Okay. And how many of that have been doing PI, what you're doing the trials now, the personal injury trial?
A little more than five has been that.
You know, so 5 years doing this area, this practice area. And I mean, how many trials do you think you've gotten out in the past couple of years?
So total, I've done 14 as lead now. Mm-hmm. And I have to correct myself. I've been practicing for 8 years. I just did quick math and realized because I was 3 years of something else. But yeah, I've done quite a few as lead. And really in the first couple of years I was in personal injury, I had about seven of them. So it went pretty quick. And then with the pandemic, it slowed. And in the last year, two verdict, I've had four. And then I've had a couple settle in the middle.
Yeah. And that's, you know, a lot of listeners or viewers don't understand that a lot of cases do resolve even in the middle of trial, right before trial. And sometimes it's the best place to do it.
Yeah, definitely.
And if you have any questions for Casey, they go to justiceteamnetwork.com, click that case consultation button or one of the shows. We'll get back to you with any of those answers. So Casey, for our young listeners out there, how are you able to get this experience to get into the courtroom when some people tell you it takes years, if not decades, to do it?
So my answer is not always popular. Some people find it to be a little opportunistic, but I'm a big proponent of squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Yep.
You need to let everybody and their brother know that that's what you want to do. Mm-hmm. Trials are your goal. And then you take whatever opportunity you get and you crush it.
Yeah. And I, you know, I, like you in my early years trying cases, tried a lot of dog shit. if you're watching Casey, he's laughing. Yeah. Same.
Oh, yeah. I mean, my very first case at trial was a really difficult premises case where he fell off a platform that had no rails. And dropped 10 feet. And, you know, they're just hard cases. Premises cases are a really good place for young trial attorneys to get chances. But, you know, I've tried those. I've tried a lot of disputed liability cases where the odds are not great. And that's just kind of the opportunities you get.
Yeah. So, you know, walk us through, because a lot of people are maybe at a firm and they're not getting the opportunity there, you know, first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth, 10th year associate. They're not getting those chances in the ring. You now work for yourself. What's the difference? Because you've been on both sides of that coin. What's the difference?
I mean, it's just a huge difference. And I think, you know, when you're working for somebody else, it depends a lot on who you're working for. There are firms, you know, you and I started at the same place. And that's, if you can find a firm where maybe the main players don't actually want to do the trials, that's a great place to go get opportunities.
Yeah, she and I both were baby lawyers, not at the same time, but different decades, probably at Letter or Nojima. And big shout out to Dave and John, some of my mentors. But yeah, same thing. I was able to get some trial experience early on, but you have to go to a boutique, smaller firm rather than where you're like 20th in line.
Right. And at Dolan, where I was next, you know, that's a harder place to get trials because Chris likes to do the trials. He's very good at doing the trials. Yep. So the goal there is less, you know, do I get my own solo trial? And ultimately I did, but can I go along on this trial? How do I get myself even on the trial team for that? Mm-hmm. Even if it means that maybe you're not doing the work you want to do, it might not be realistic to get a witness right out the gate, but you just keep taking the opportunities and keep kind of chirping in people's ear and eventually somebody will give you a shot.
Yeah. And on your end, when you're working for yourself now, you get to decide if take the case, what the fee splits are, how you get in there.
Sure. And I will just tell you, if you want a trial and you're listening and your firm is open to it, please just email me. I will help you find a trial or a chance at it because, you know, people do send me a lot of their kind of more last minute ones that are suboptimal, and I can't try them all. So I'm happy to give, you know, young lawyers a shot on that. I also really like teaching. And so I'm happy to bring people along as a second chair.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people, you know, be willing to sometimes just try a case for experience points at the beginning, maybe one or two to get your feet wet, and then work into having, you know, a rev share on the fees. You know, I think a lot of people don't realize there's an opportunity where some lawyers have a lot of cases and they're not interested in trying them, but they do have the money to finance them, and they can give you the opportunity to while financing them while giving you a piece of the pie.
Yeah, that's a really good opportunity too. Mm-hmm. I think people get scared sometimes of taking their own cases to trial just on the cost end.
Yep.
And I, you know, when I co-counsel with people, I'm very open about the fact that I am not the money person.
Yep.
Somebody else is going to fund that, but I'm happy to go in there and, you know, give it a good run.
Yeah. And I think that's, you know, the niche, if you want to say that, that Casey's found herself in is kind of being like the trial director of Justice HQ, which on our channels, telling everybody what judges are available and then helping quarterback and give cases, especially to other, you know, other women that aren't getting the opportunity, right?
Yeah, definitely. Because I think that women do have a harder time getting in the courtroom for whatever reason. And I really want to make sure there's more of us in there because frankly, we're pretty good at it.
That's right. Pretty damn good.
Yep.
Pretty darn good. Damn or darn. I think we can swear on this. It's our show.
So
we can say whatever the fuck we want. But I think it also is a lot easier if you have your own firm to create that own opportunity.
Definitely.
Yeah. Okay. So talk to us about, you know, you parachute in and sometimes you already have that steaming pile of dog shit in front of you and you can't really do anything with it. But when you're coming in, and I've been in a situation before, it sucks. Experts have already been designated. Sometimes expert discovery has been done and you're just doing the trial. You kind of walk our listeners and viewers through some practical tips of when that happens and what you can actually do.
In terms of like when we're at the stage where we're already there and it's done and you're showing up.
Yeah, let's do the first one where you're there, it's done. Experts have already been disclosed. You actually maybe get to do a couple of experts and kind of, but your horses have been selected.
Yeah. So I think my first advice on that is that your horses aren't always as selected as you think they are. Mm. People get very set on discovery is closed, things are locked in. And it's my favorite thing to do is look at it and say, okay, well, what moves can I make to make the game board a little bit different? Mm-hmm. Because maybe we think we're playing with one deck of cards, but actually I can start getting two or three other ones shuffled in. So, you know, discovery is not always as closed as you think. Is, you know, the biggest tip, if you've got a difficult liability case, you can always go find other information out there.
Yep.
So you just go and keep doing your own hunt for information, especially if you've got a government entity. It's really easy to find more.
You tried a very difficult government entity sidewalk case in a very difficult part of LA County and won. No, kudos to that. I would have never even touched that case. Congrats to you, Casey. But you know, I always tell lawyers, like, if you want to learn how to be a great trial lawyer, try those really hard cases that have all the bad facts. All the bad facts. Because then you get cases with good facts that are easier.
Yeah. Well, and I honestly, like, sometimes I don't even know what to do with myself if I get something that's too good now because I'm so used to scrapping. Like, I like myself in a scrap better than almost anybody else. If we're going to have a case where nobody deposed experts and we're flying in blind, I'll bet on myself every single time.
Oh, that's actually a better... You know, in some states like Oregon, they have no expert discovery and it's just like a free-for-all trial, which I actually like, but, you know. Fine.
Well, it's just not that surprising. What is your expert going to say? He's not injured? Okay, great. Like, shocker.
What else are you going to tell us, right? It's degenerative? Okay, next. So when you walk into that situation, first of all, where would you prefer to come and do a trial?
I would love to come into trial before expert discovery.
Yes.
That would be the ideal because I can do a lot more for the case there. But that's not generally when people call me because I'm pretty good at fixing mistakes. So, you know, if you're coming in later and there's been mistakes or it's suboptimal, I guess is probably the better way to put it. You can keep, like, I built kind of trapdoors too, where maybe it's not something I'm going to get to use, but I have the opportunity in the event that the facts change. Like,
I think it's important also for people that get a lot of cases and are thinking about bringing co-counsel to help try it or co-try it or just give it all together. Don't be afraid to have somebody like Casey or our firm or any firm have eyes on it earlier because you can go to Casey and say, hey, I want you to try this case if it gets there. How about I give you a lower tiered percentage just to be my consultant to make sure we hire those right experts in case you're in place? Because I think a lot of attorneys make the mistake thinking they have to hold it on too long and think it's going to settle magically just by them hiring a bunch of experts they never talk to. And it makes it harder to resolve that case.
And they don't always understand too, like what experts are actually needed. Mm-hmm. So you see a whole list of a bunch of people that you definitely didn't need. And then perhaps like a supplemental was blown and there was somebody that you should have designated in response to the defense. It's, you know, you can always consult somebody to get that stuff figured out earlier on. And the other thing I see, especially from younger attorneys, and I think I felt this way a lot too when I was more junior, I was so self-conscious of my own work product that I was really hesitant to get people involved. And like, I can guarantee you, it's not going to be the worst thing I've seen. And there's not like a single ounce of judgment at what you've done. Cause that's, I get it, you know? And I think that that's most people who do this and come in later. So please, if you're sitting there hesitating and going, oh gosh, my file needs to be in perfect shape and it's not organized. And oh, what if I didn't ask the questions right at depo? Well, you took the depo. That's pretty good.
It's a start. Yeah, people, you know, perfection stalls. I forget what that saying is, like progression or something like this. But don't be worried about being perfect. Like, who gives a shit? Like, just go there, do the best you can. And most of the times, what carries the day in trials is going to be the story and then being prepared with all the facts.
Right.
So, okay, so a lot of people think that, hey, you know, Casey, you're in trial all the time. It's so sexy. You're going from flying from Oakland down to LA, trying this case, going over to Sacramento to try that case. How sexy is that trial lawyer life?
Oh gosh. I mean, you know, I have Southwest A-list and I will say when I get that seat with on the overwing with the extra legroom, that feels pretty sexy.
That's sexy.
That's cool. But no, I get so sick of takeout. Like all I want is for my husband to cook me something instead. I get so sick of it. I have, you start to just really value being in your own bed. I value that more than like anything. But I grew up in a family where like people were on the road a lot. My dad traveled a ton. And when I started doing this, we had a conversation. He goes, have you reached that point where you just like can't be around people yet?
Or you feel like a stranger in your own home. Yeah. And I think that, well, we'll do a whole trial error episode later, but you have that, even when you're out of trial, you're still in that fog of war and it takes a few days to like get back acclimated to the real world. It was like, you're in prison for like a month.
Yeah.
You'd be in jail, not prison for a month. Okay.
Well, but no, it takes forever to like, just to come back to reality and get caught up. And as far as the rest of your cases are concerned, it's like you were on vacation, except for you definitely weren't at all.
And that's the other thing. If you're running a straight trial practice like Casey is, you know, it's hard to maintain all your other cases if you're constantly in trial.
Very, which is why co-counseling is so great, because you need, especially if you're doing it like me and on your own, you really need to have other people you can trust.
So are you, I mean, let's pare this down. Are you trying intellectual property cases?
No.
Are you trying bankruptcy cases?
No.
Are you doing family law cases?
No.
Are you doing injury cases?
Yes.
All right. So you specialize in what?
Injury cases.
That's right. So if you had a trademark infringement case, would that be you?
It could still be me, but I'm not going to tell
price
you no.
The may be right. Yeah, I get the right co-counsel and specialist in. Yeah, but I think that people just make the mistake of hiring a non-specialist for what they need. Okay, it's going back to a lot of our young listeners want to aspire to be Casey's of the world. So what is it kind of like, because you're trying to get ready for a trial and it doesn't happen? Like, what's that like?
I have learned to accept the emotional come down, because even like a day like today where I went and reported ready, there's always the possibility I actually do start, and that's where my brain's at. And I'm kind of revving up emotionally. And I know on days like today where I go, I have to have kind of a low expectation of getting other stuff done, because that come down, like I'm going to go to bed early tonight. I guarantee you I'll be asleep by like 8 PM. It just is emotionally draining. So a lot of it is just learning yourself and learning what your own ebbs and flows are. And that's tricky if you haven't gotten to do a lot of trials. There was nothing worse for me in the beginning than like, I'd be fully ready, all my exams outlined and perfect. And then, you know, something happens and we have to kick it 3 months.
Yep.
And then I would forget what I did.
Come back and then relearn.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, it is what it is. But I think one of the things we were discussing before you came on is one of the bigger trials you have coming up has like 50 witnesses or something.
57 witnesses, 38 of which are non-retained experts.
Whew. You know, and that's where, if that trial goes and you have to do all those witnesses, that's 6 weeks of your life.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. And I have co-counsel on that one, because that's not a thing that you can, I think, humanely do to yourself alone. So I don't like trying cases alone. That's kind of a different thing. Mm-hmm. But
I agree 100%. I always have somebody else. At least.
Yeah. It's it's kind of the old way of doing things. I find a couple of things. One, I actually get to like rest and have some semblance of balance and health.
And you actually, it's actually way more fun.
Yes. Yes. It's way more fun. And I get in my own head when I'm by myself. Yeah. I get like a little bit self-conscious and I'm not sure how things went. And I need kind of that other person to say, this was the right thing to do and bounce ideas off of somebody.
Yeah. And I think it's good, like, you know, longer trials that I've had to be like, okay, this is like my heavy lift day where I got like 4 or 5 witnesses. And then maybe the next day, laboring oars with the other person I'm trying the case with, so you can get a break, prepare exactly. for the next one. Because it is a gauntlet. If you, I mean, the only drug I do is like trial work. I mean, it is like an ultimate high. Like you get that cross and you fuck somebody up. It's like, oh boy, that was like the best day of your life. You do another one, and it's like this ultimate high that you have all day.
Oh, you can't beat it. It's every trial I have a day like that where it's like, this is the greatest job on the planet. And then I have this other day every trial. It's also about knowing yourself and energy on it. I call it my enterprise rent a car day because it goes. It just feels so shitty. I have this sinking feeling in the pit of my stomach. Like everything has gone wrong. Why did I pick this job? I could have gotten a job at Enterprise Rent-A-Car where they give you the tools to succeed. Oh, and that's why I call it that. Cause I made a stepbrother's joke the first time I did that rant and nobody got it. And I was like, ugh,
prestige worldwide.
There you go.
Yeah. Do we just become best friends? So my stepbrother's actually a lawyer, actually, and my stepsister. Yeah. Well, yeah, just thought of that in my head. Interesting. So being a trial lawyer, if you had to define it, you know, you're in the trenches. It's not somebody that just puts on their email signature, trial lawyer, which is a thing of all of its own. Like if you had to describe it for the young lawyers, just break it down, simple terms, what's the best way for them to get their foot in the door?
When the door's open, go.
Love it. Love it. And what are some things that they could be doing if you had to rewind time, if you were starting in law school, what are some things that you would be doing to try to get trial experience or trial work?
Trial team, 1,000%. I was mock trial high school, college, law school. And is it different? Sure. But the basic skills are very similar. Yeah.
And I think what people lose sight of is that basic skills, good, connections, great.
Yes, exactly. And if you are, you know, most of the people running your trial programs are trial attorneys. Yep. Or they know trial attorneys.
A lot of the judges for the mock trials are real trial lawyers. That's where I actually, one I did in Santa Monica. I was trying a case in Van Nuys, a sexual assault, sad case. And I went to Santa Monica, Van Nuys to Santa Monica to judge. And Alexis Gambley was in law school and she was doing the mock court. And I was like, remembering, I was like, that's a special lawyer.
I competed against her.
Really?
I lost to her at AAJ, her and Sophie actually.
Really?
I lost to them at AAJ regional semifinals. I don't want to blame it on the judge. But I'm going to, he was one of those judges who starts the competition with, I'm not going to interfere that much. And I'm like,
where that's going.
Yeah, no. And my co-counsel, it was her first mock trial competition and she was great. She was just a complete natural, but she had not dealt with that before. So I got to close in 9 minutes, which in law school competition time is that's short for that. and then we lost by 1 point to Alexis and Sophie who are now
that's
friends.
So funny.
But yeah, it's a very small world.
I think that's, you know, for the young listeners, those are good pointed things to do. And then just keep putting your name in the ring. I mean, almost what's the worst thing to say? They say no, just being so aggressive about it. Like the reason I know that, because I get a lot of, like you, a lot of people saying, I need somebody to try this case, and it's not a fit for my firm because we take bigger ones. It's like, well, here's some options for you. And like, that's because people keep telling me, reminding me that they're available.
Yeah. It literally is, it's squeaky wheel gets the grease. I don't know any other way to say it. The more you tell people, I want trials, and the more you are about I'm just about trial. Like I want to be in the courtroom. That's what I want. You will be front of mind. And don't feel like telling somebody one time is enough. Like we're all busy. It's really about, you know, at the moment that somebody gives me a trial I can't do or calls me about it, it's pretty much a recency bias of who did I last talk to that said they wanted trials.
It's 100% true.
So,
for listeners, just put, if you're on social media, just put on your handle, like your description, will work for trials or ready for trials, big bold, or, you know, be aggressive about it.
Yeah. Like you cannot message me too many times. If you want to text me once a week and say, hey, you got any trials for me? Great. I'll respect that.
See, I love that. I love it. I love it. Love it. But yeah, I mean, really drop into Casey's DMs. What's your handle so people can find you?
Casey's on the case.
I love that. It's so easy. Every time I tag her in something, it's so easy. It's when Casey on the case. I'm also very, very entertaining, as most good trial lawyers are. You know, if we have up and down time, you could tell when Casey's in trial because it's like total darkness. Total darkness. And then all of a sudden we get to the weekend and it's soccer a little bit.
It's a lot of sports. It's a lot of, I would, I would probably describe my Instagram stories as chaotic.
Yeah.
You don't chaotic really ever know.
Chaotic good.
Yeah, but you're right. It goes all of a sudden, it's like crickets and people, yeah. I think people know now I'm in trial, and I try to put like something up that says I'm in trial, but otherwise they get worried about me.
I remember back in the, like, for a while, like people would be texting me, are you okay? Cause like they didn't see like at Planet Fun Bob wasn't doing something. And I was like, no guys, I'm just in trial. Like I'm a little fucking busy here.
Yeah.
People get worried for you.
No, they do. And you know, I do generally my Monday morning sports and pop culture recap just so people know kind of basics of what happened over the weekend. And if there's not a recap for a couple weeks, people are like, what's going on? I'm like, I can't really like do this in the morning. It doesn't take me that long anymore, but I can't just film this before trial.
Yeah, for listeners, join, be on listservs, be in communities, be active even in like chats, you know, and be active in emails and responses, be on social media, let people know you're there and exist. The worst thing I can hear when people tell me, oh, I'm available to try cases, they tell me that, like, why didn't you select me on that case? I was like, I had no fucking clue that's what you wanted to do.
No, yeah. You know? And it's, you know, you can do it whatever way makes sense for you. Are you a big in-person person? Okay, go up to people at events. I befriend people on Instagram all the time. I've made so many new friends just in my DMs of maybe they message me, maybe I message them, and I have these different friendships there. So you can, whatever works for you, however you're comfortable, but if you want trials, like tell people.
Yep, tell people. And I also, last piece of advice for me, it's very hard. It's harder to transition from doing criminal to civil trials. It's a different genre, and you have to learn there's depositions, there's discovery. There's a lot of great trial lawyers that came from criminal into civil, but the learning curve, some people think they can go to PD. If they want to go do civil trials, they think can start in the criminal. Be a good transition. It's like it's harder than they think. It's doable.
Way harder. And it's so different. Their voir dire is so different.
Yep.
I think there's a lot more nuance in what we do with very specific verbiage on how we're presenting things that you don't have on the criminal side. So if you are, look, all that skill set's always going to be transferable, and it's better than having not been in the courtroom. But if you are coming out of that world, you got to team up with somebody who knows what they're doing.
Yeah, it takes, you know, one of the great trial lawyers I work with all the time, Sienna Collado. She came from criminal to civil, and we tried the first few cases together. You know, they don't have discovery. There's these different things, but that transferable skill, that killer instinct, like I call her the cross killer. Like she'll just eviscerate people when we try cases together. Yeah. Have a mentor if you're looking to get into that space. Work with trial lawyers that can help you find a lot of work. People like Casey and I get a lot of trial asks, so there's a lot of ripple effects that goes down into it. But if you have any other questions, you know, Casey, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
You on Casey on the Case. Any other questions, go to justiceteamnetwork.com. You know, find us there. Thank you for coming to this edition of the Justice Team Podcast, everybody.